from the UBO Business Services Studios, you're listening to KTXX-FM at HD1 BK, KTAE AM Elgin, K270CO Round Rock.
He's trying to avoid another two and barbecue. Hello, Austin. Your 3 o'clock horn headlines are sponsored by Ticket City. I promise I'm not laughing at that fact. I'm actually rooting for A&M to win so Chad grows out a mullet. TCU and those Aggies are currently playing an elimination game in the College World Series. And currently, the Horned Frogs lead 4-1 in the bottom of the sixth. TCU is the home team in that game. In pro baseball, the Rangers host the Blue Jays at 7:05 on AM 1260 and 101.9 FM, while the Astros are out west to battle the A's. The series is still going on at 9:05. It's Half Price Tuesday at Dell Diamond as the Express continue their series with Memphis. You can hear it on 104.9 FM at 7:05. And in soccer, FIFA is telling Mexico that it will start cracking down if Mexican fans don't stop chanting a homophobic slur at opponents during international matches. And those are your horn headlines. I'm Trey Elling.
Guests of the horn appear courtesy of the Bob Steak and Chop House Hotline. Go see what all the fuss is about on Lavaca across from the W Hotel, Bob Steak and Chop House in Austin.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain. We're looking about a 4-hour flight time today. We've got clear skies, good visibility. Flight attendants, please prepare for takeoff.
Afternoons on the Horn with Chad Hastings and Kevin Dunn.
You guys both look like you might want to hit me in the face.
I'm not a fan or anything, but at some point we all need to find a comfortable version of the Oregon State Beaver that we can all live with. Because they have gone out of control. I thought the Chad Johnson, TJ Houshmandzadeh years featured a nice beaver. Now they went into that weird...
Is the beaver too big?
It looks like the thing that the Jawas traveled in Star Wars. Doesn't look near as cool as that old one.
Well, they got a lot of things working. They need to get their beaver in check.
Chad and Kevin.
Hope you weren't too hard on the beaver.
On the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, and hornfm.com. With the Longhorns play and Austin Talks Sports.
Afternoon delight.
Well, I know I was going to see a big brown beaver and shows them out to all her friends. One day you know that beaver tried to leave it, so she gave him up a cyclone.
You're damn right. Let's go hour number one on a Tuesday. Kevin Dunn is here. I'm Chad Hastings. Trey Elling getting you the great intros, throwing them together for you. A little Primus for you, kids. If you love that bass guitar and you want some funky rock and metal kind of stuff, Primus has got it for you.
Primus.
Les Claypool on bass. A great slap bass player, and they are a crazy, cool, funny, funky band. And I believe that's... who is it? What's her name? Is it Mary? No, not Mary.
Winona?
No. The woman's name in the song who's got the big brown beaver. Who is
Winona.
It?
Winona.
No, that, is it, that really is it?
Yeah,
do
Winona had a big brown beaver.
For all of us, that, like, what are you guys talking about? She had an actual beaver, the animal?
In The Naked Gun.
Like, it's the name of the song, so I don't...
Okay.
But I didn't realize it was Winona. I thought it was something much more basic than that. Anyway.
Hey, speaking of subjects along those lines, guys, we had a topic on the show today... That thing is just dangling entirely too much and in the wrong spots.
Looks like you with that masseuse.
Exactly.
In New Orleans.
But we had we had somebody with Fleshlight drop off a bunch of models for Brad and I earlier today. Of course, the two single guys on the show, I mean, they took off with a model each like vultures, but there's still one left in here.
Who are the two
so
single
I need you guys...
guys?
It's a double orifice
obviously
version.
Brad,
it's got one on each
one?
Side, and I need you guys to stick your finger in
what?
Each side and like ET, like
right.
Touch fingers. Hold on a sec. I have to video it.
What? What do you mean you have to video it? What does that mean?
Is this the Hope Solo?
I don't know what. What is
no, dude? The Hope Solo is
my finger
much
or my
more
fist
pronounced.
In here.
What have we gotten ourselves into? We're like 2 minutes into the show.
Oh, there we go.
We're like. I am not going to describe to people what I am seeing right now.
This is just, it's muscle what, memory.
What? Just, he can do it. He can do that.
Get your finger.
Oh,
Chad's going to go with
wow
a dooski in there, huh? Oh, God.
Yeah, that's yeah, okay. That's... All right. Well, don't throw it on the Dave Campbell magazine.
No, you're right.
You sicko.
You can take that.
My God.
I'm the only single one of us, and I don't want it.
You got the
especially now.
You got it on the Aggie Breakdown. What did you do? You dropped it right on the Aggie Breakdown page.
Well, once I touched you, And yeah.
Oh, brother.
Ah.
I'm going to hope that's not what that's for. All right. It is Tuesday.
How about the Bears' defense this year?
Man, I'm telling you.
You think they're going to be good?
I am telling you, Kevin. I cannot wait for the Cowboys to get training camp started. Ezekiel Elliott's second year. Dak Prescott's development. No Tony Romo pressure. I think it's going to be a big year.
Is it worth it for that? I got to be honest. I've seen those at Dreamers.
Was it worth it to draft
Dak?
Wandered
in there after Star Seeds.
Absolutely. I thought Dak as a fourth-round pick ended up working. So, yes, it was
worth
it. I
thought it was the Lyft place. I thought they actually had a location. And I thought, well, you know, Lyft Dreamers, that makes sense. And they had one of those in there. But it was in a – I don't know. Maybe it is worth it. But for two of the single guys on that show to run home with them –
That part doesn't seem right.
No.
Let me just say that. That does not seem right. Doesn't seem right. I would think you would probably want to save that for married people. Anyway, it's the Horn, 104.9, AM 1260, hornfm.com. If you missed
you
anything.
Said it.
And we will start you with the update from Omaha. And what we've told you the last couple days, Kevin tells you all the time, when you get to Omaha, it's about teams that know how to get to Omaha and how to live in Omaha and how to stay in Omaha. And TCU is one of those teams. TCU has knocked the Aggies out the last couple years, whatever round it was. This year, they're trying to do it again. It's 4-1 TCU, bottom six. They've got a couple runners on base. And Kevin, once again, my Aggies have started digging holes. If you need a hole dug,
yeah,
my Aggies can dig it, man. They almost got out of it with Louisville. And they're trying to dig out of a 4-0 hole here. But, man, they are they're looking like they're headed for barbecue.
Yeah, they are. And their starter had some pretty good stuff. It's one of those that TCU really is a veteran team. And they kind of tacked it along a little bit. Brian Howard came out and struck out the first six guys. So they couldn't touch him. He's a guy we've seen for a long time. Real tall guy. Can run stuff in on you. He's got a 10-4 slider. Ben McDonald and this crew I talked about, I was bragging about, have done such a good job of showing a lot of the different things in baseball. And they showed his arm angle dropping down a little bit and really going 10-4 as opposed to getting north to south and getting more of that 12-6. So he was doing both those. A&M, though, A&M's a gritty team. You have to give this team credit, the fact that they've been able to they had an easy path, but they've been able to fight through stuff and hang around like they did in game one. They've kind of done that here, but you just get the sense that TCU's that more experienced team that is going to win this.
Yeah, that's the way it feels now. We'll keep you updated on that game. If you missed it last night, as we left here, Oregon State had already manufactured a run, and I think they'd come up with the three by the time we left, and it was 3-0. They dismantled LSU.
It was 1-0 when I got home.
It was 1-0.
I'm a little closer.
So we were 1-0. Right. By the time I got home, I think it was already 3-0. And then...
And how'd they get to 3, Chad? What did we talk about with extra bags?
They got to 3 because on one play, I believe LSU had 2 overthrows, and Oregon State got a base runner advanced on each of those overthrows.
To 3rd and 2nd.
That's impressive. And then a single scores 2.
And then a single scores 2. You got to give them credit. It's what we've talked about, but their whole lineup, it's just professional. And with that grand slam inning with KJ Harrison, who's the guy I was talking about who had that the best at bat I've seen in college baseball. And
oh, he's so good.
I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And there may be a couple in there that clearly I missed. You can be like, Kevin, Luke and Baker had a 19 pitch at bat. Okay, well, it's one of those. And they all classify as kind of game changers with momentum. And when he hit that grand slam last night, and TCU's got great fans. I mean, I can get on them about maybe how they won a couple of their championships or some of their championships, but as a team, but their fans have always been great. And you could feel the momentum. And man, that thing just, it died at 3-0, and then at 8-0, it was done. Oregon State smells blood. They go for it. This is by far one of the best college baseball teams I've ever seen. Let's see if they can finish it off.
Yeah, I think you said TCU fans. You meant LSU fans?
LSU fans, yeah. And the TCU fans are good too. No, the LSU fans are at a different level.
Yeah, and Oregon State's team was obviously at a different level last night. 23 wins in a row. In any level of baseball impresses
Twice.
Me. 23 wins.
Twice in a season.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I know they're 56-4
They've done it twice now in this season.
Oh, that's crazy. Two separate 23-game win streaks?
Texas had a 34-game win streak in 77, which blows you away.
Oh, that's dumb.
To have two 23?
Yeah, that's incredible.
You know what? I'm rooting for him because, as you know with me, like if it seems pretty pure and you can take out the Heimlich stuff that has nothing to do with these kids, that and you think it could be greatness, you got to root for it.
Yeah, and it's funny. I hadn't even thought of that, and I know they put a graphic up last night talking about the Luke Heimlich situation, the pitcher that has taken himself out of the series, or they took him out of the series, however you want to look at it.
What if they had him and his numbers?
The fact that they're still doing that. I mean, they still look so put together, and everything looks like it should look, and their best pitcher is not with them, is not playing.
The day that came down, you go, well, this could be, and I go, Chad, I go, if there's one team right now that could actually sustain this, it's them. Because they've got so many arms.
Yeah, they do.
And I love the way they play. They take extra bags. Their baseball IQ is incredibly high in all of them. How about the right fielder? Did you see? I'll give Tom Hart.
Catch.
I'll give Ravitch credit, which I won't do a lot. I don't think he's great, especially with college baseball. But noticing, and they got the slow-mo, as he's sliding into foul territory on a really tough play, heading up to the wall, knows he's going to catch it, and it's that thing's darting away. And he's giving a thumbs up to the pitcher like, no, we got this one. Different level.
Yeah, right. I thought the same thing. I'm like, wait a minute. Why does he have time? What is he doing there? Is he just letting the pitcher know, I got you?
Things are that slow for those guys right now.
Wow. Yeah, that was a great play. Great play. We'll keep you up to date on what's going on in Omaha. Oregon State would be the first overall, and Kevin talks about the health of this sport sometimes. I think this speaks to it. The last time the number one overall seed won the College World Series was 1999,
mm-hmm.
Miami. That's the last team that was the number one overall seed in the country that got to Omaha and won the whole thing.
I can give you a couple that should have or that you felt like. So 2004 Texas was running through it. I mean, you go look at what they did, especially against Vanderbilt, Jeremy Sowers and the Supers, the Regionals, the Supers, and then the first three games in Omaha, just killing people. And then they ran into, what do I talk about?
Moreno and somebody? No.
Jason Windsor and Ricky Romero.
Romero. That's
you
the one
racist.
I... Romero.
And so sometimes it just happens. So that could happen to Oregon State. You could run into Florida, and they've already got one kid. If Fiedo's pitching like that, watch out. Because that's when that 10-4 is unhittable. TCU ran into it. And if he's pitching like that, and maybe this is a time for Florida to catch some breaks and get hot... Ironically, not their most talented team, but on the mound, they can have some guys. You don't know, so you can feel really comfortable even at 3-0. And, of course, you feel comfortable at 2-0. You get a lot of rest, but you got to keep it on the pedal. And I don't think Oregon State's going to have any problem with that.
No, it doesn't feel like it. Oregon State gets extra rest more than anybody else would, and we'll talk more about that in the Big 3 coming up as they continue in Omaha. Also, the countdown to football season continues, 74 days till Texas and Maryland. And by my count, we're 7 days away from the Phil Steele magazine.
All right.
Dave Campbell's out there. Some of the early magazines are out there. I was reading up on my Aggies today and Dave Campbell. So magazine season is here. That gets everybody excited. You mentioned to me earlier that you're online every day kind of checking some college football stuff and just finding little nuggets that are out there.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of us, because the NBA draft's not going to carry the same weight. I mean, we would have done a four-hour show today 20 years ago on it, and that's okay. Hopefully in 10 years we will,
mm-hmm.
You know? You know, and I've got optimism with that, not because of the people that are in charge or the way that it's tilting, but because of the sport I'm watching right now that really was a train wreck. And you can talk about popularity. I can talk about health if our eyeballs are on all three. So college football is one of those things that just does not die, especially in this city, in this state. And even some of the random articles you're looking at, you start to get into, okay, what are some of the matchups? And one of the best things about matchups, especially in a sport that has that many good ones, is the buildup. And we've got some buildup early on, especially the biggest one for me with Texas is I can't wait for the trip to L.A.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing college football does a good job of nowadays. And I wish we had a few more of these. Maybe we'll get a couple more. But the good thing about the playoff system, which I hope would expand, I know some don't. But even with this 4-team playoff, we get more and more of the early season non-conference matchups that you know, because we always talk about it. You'll salivate and go crazy for an average game at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Like that first Saturday, 11 a.m., oh my God, Iowa's playing Northern Illinois. Like, you'll flip out.
And we had a 10-year span where we didn't get anything during that time.
Right.
At all.
But now we're starting to stack games, move games. Last year, take the Texas-Notre Dame game. I understand what it became at the end of the year. But still, that night, it was a pretty exciting game and a big-time game. Move that one to Sunday. This year, you take the A&M-UCLA game. You move that to Sunday. Alabama is now consistently under Saban, playing someone every year non-conference.
Yep.
I mean, I can't remember the last year we made fun of their total non-conference. Do they still play some of those SEC pillows? Of course they do, because they get four of them. So three of theirs might be a joke. Two of them certainly are.
Yeah, but Alabama, Florida State's the game I'm thinking about right now for all of us.
Right, but they always find one of those. Mm-hmm. Bama's playing Florida State. OU's got to go to Ohio State without Bob Stoops. Welcome to college football, young coach.
Tell you what, that's a great opportunity, because I'm not sure a lot's expected, not only for what Ohio State did against Oklahoma last year, but Ohio State loses a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma returns some important people. That'd be a great chance for Lincoln to get a quick stamp as, yep, I was the right hire.
It'd be a great game for them to have those running backs, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
I think that's going to be the game, because it's so early, too. And then, and they may have guys to fill in, but when you lose a guy, when you lose those two guys, you lose the Mixon and the Pirine at the same time, that is going to be tough. But yeah, those early games, and then you mentioned Texas-USC. I mean, Sam Darnold was such a stud last year, so impressive. And you were talking about him early on in the season and how he looked, and then the development that he showed. What's he going to look like with another, you know, another offseason to work on? That's going to be such a tough game for Texas to go get. Great early test for Tom Herman's new defense for all the Texas fans to see.
So, yeah, I'm definitely glad you're on board. Like I said, Trey and I had talked about it. So we'll definitely take your texts if anyone's got any questions or if you've got any ideas that we can run with that are actually good. 337-3776, or you can obviously call us 447-3776. But the biggest one for me is I'm glad that there are Alabama, Florida States, and we've had those the last couple years. And I do feel like sometimes you can run with it too much. I know for me personally, just looking at college football, I took too much out of – everyone took too much out of Texas Notre Dame. But pretty early on, we kind of knew, all right, we had hyped that too much, and you've got to take the reality out of that. In terms of Ohio State, Oklahoma last year, I bought too much into Ohio State, and I also really knew how good their division was, so I gave them a lot of love. But as that was going on, especially in the Michigan game, I'm thinking, man, I just really thought that they were going to get better and be better.
Yeah.
And offensively, they didn't make that. You know, they didn't have that growth or development.
They just went crazy against OU, and yeah, that wasn't their. That was the top. Like,
right.
That was the best they were all year.
That was it.
And you figured, oh my God, Urban Meyer's got this, plus it's September?
Yeah.
Look out. Yeah, it just didn't happen.
Because, I think, and the other thing, too, is in all of our minds, we've seen Meyer teams get so much better.
Right.
And we trust him so much as a coach.
You expect it. You expect by the Michigan game, they are a nasty group to deal with.
Right.
Not that they sucked in the Michigan game, but you bring up a point. Yeah,
they're throwing some of the darts they are against Oklahoma, and guys are catching the ball on people's backs.
Yeah,
and Malik Hooker, and what you're like, I think there's three first round picks in their secondary, and they're running around. And you've at that point, the defensive line really looked like it was going to be something that was only going to get better and better. Sometimes it didn't always grow like that.
They lose a lot of, like you said, they lose a lot of important players. What is the Big Ten? Now that the Big Ten is back, mm-hmm. Now that the Big Ten is relevant, where does that conference end up? What does Harbaugh have at Michigan this year?
What a change for them.
I know.
Because the Sacramentos of the world, I felt bad for you guys, especially in New York. There were a lot of Big Ten people, and they would try and argue. And I go, dude, just stop. What about the bowl record here? I go, Mike, no, all of our eyes are saying that you guys look a lot slower and you get exposed in these big games nationally. It's just not the case anymore. They've made a big change. Big Ten Network has been incredible for them. That, and give them credit, it's all about coaches, is it not?
Coaches are a big deal. That's the coaching conference now.
It is.
Tons of people talk about it, and they deserve the love for that. What Penn State's been able to do, coming out of all of that mess.
He was on the hot seat
of the past, right?
In September last year.
Yeah, that guy, and we were that was one of the stories, early stories we talked about of this is a job that may end up being open. This feels like a good football coach that's going to be available.
Yeah, that too.
And everything changed the other way. So that conference is always going to be interesting. And back to that Alabama-Florida State game, it just hit me. That to me is, it's not only interesting because it's Alabama and Florida State, but think about those quarterbacks. We're going to get to see both of those quarterbacks in their second year.
Mm-hmm.
Year of development for Francois, a year of development for Hurts, and obviously there's the Hurts thing with the new offensive coordinator. It was going to be Sarkisian, but now it's the other guy, and it's not Lane Kiffin anymore. But let's see how those guys develop, because they both showed us so much raw potential. And I really dug DeAndre Francois, not only his name, because it's fantastic, but at times...
I didn't dig his offensive line, though. So to me,
right.
I think part of his development is how gun-shy is he after just being on his butt a lot. Too much. I mean, because they didn't protect him. What I did learn from him is he's a pretty gutty kid.
Absolutely.
Like, I got a lot of respect for him in that regard, and you never know with redshirt freshmen or freshmen, and it's like... I mean, they're probably gutty, but when he would stay in and take some shots.
They could have called that Showtime show DeAndre Francois Takes a Punch.
Oh, I bet.
I watched it every week, and every week those poor offensive linemen, they did a good job of not naming them, you know, but every week the story was, can DeAndre stand for the fourth quarter? But you're right. He showed his toughness. That team had to believe in him by the end of the year. But they obviously lose Cook at running back. He now becomes even more of a leader. I can't wait to see that vibe. And then, look, every year we all know, even when you don't know what Nick Saban has at quarterback, you trust him.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to see some of the raw stuff that Hurts has. Things fell apart a little bit, you know, in the championship game or whatever. But, hey, if that's your issue, that something fell apart in the championship game. I mean, you know, you could also argue he did enough. He did enough to win that championship game, and the defense, you know, was out there too many plays, and there's a lot of issues there. But I love that game early. Love that game early. Those two teams on a field together, by the way, is also a cool thing for me. As the kid in me says, when you put Bama and Florida State on a field together, that's a big thumbs up, uniform-wise, helmet-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of questions, though, really about both teams. I mean, I don't mean lots of questions, but with the offense, what is Alabama going to look like? I mean, mm-hmm. I think both are going to be really good, and you'd probably even lean more towards Alabama, but there's going to be a lot of talent on the field, but I don't know what they're going to look like, and I kind of like that. I mean, when Miami came out, and I guess it was 2002, people really questioned kind of, were they going to look the same? There were some people that were missing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's, oh no, it's Winslow instead of Shockey. Right. It's Taylor instead of Reed. It's McGahee instead of, it's like, oh, okay, so instead of Portis. It's like, so this may be better. And they went to Florida in a night game in CBS and just pistol whipped them.
I've heard Bucky make this point a lot with different subjects. He's the guy I think about. But sometimes there's so much of the, well, they have to reload this year, right? They've got to be reloading this year. And I've heard Bucky say something like, well, what if they don't?
Yeah.
What if they don't have to? What if they
just...
You
mean rebuilding or reloading?
Or rebuild. Yeah. But what if they have to rebuild? What if they don't? What if it is just another reload and you think they're losing too much talent, but they're actually not? I mean, if I'm an Alabama
fan... It's usually a rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
But there are some times. Texas has been a part of it with Mac. Florida State had a long run. Miami. Alabama right now. A lot of them have had it where you really aren't... You can say rebuilding, but there may be a better guy stepping up.
Yeah.
Or equal.
And the great part for Alabama fans in September is I'm sure they just turn on the TV and think, hey, what freshman's awesome this year? Right? Which freshman is going to impress us and the country and carry us to something we didn't expect?
Right.
I mean, they seem to have there's some offensive firepower as a freshman that you didn't expect. You go, yeah, but what are they going to do at receiver? Oh, Amari Cooper. Oh, okay. Well, do they have OJ Howard, a guy they don't even use that much? He's that good? Oh, okay. That's fine. And there always seems to be a running back, too. So it will be a blast to watch that game. If you want to jump in on some college football, the Specs text line and voicemail line is always there for you. 337-3776. We'll get you the big three, an update on TCU.
Oh, it's a Billy Bates play.
TCU and A&M. A dropped ball in foul territory. We'll have Kevin tell the full story of his nightmare there because he just covered his face.
No.
That story's coming.
Therapist said no.
That story's coming up. Big three. I got a crap bag for you as well. A little shout out to the ladies. It's the horn. Chad and Kevin with you on a Tuesday. High of 97 today and tomorrow. Troy Kimmel's exclusive Austin Radio Network forecast. It's kind of Beach Boy weather. Nice sunny day. Nothing better than the Beach Boys for that. Brian Wilson is 75 years old today.
Reminds me of the first time I saw the Beach Boys.
Was it hot?
Oh, God. It was at Zilker Park, and it was... I was probably six, I think 1984.
First, was that your first concert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a bad one.
It's a good way to start.
But it was 178 degrees,
yeah.
I think, all day.
In the shade?
Yeah. No shade there at all. There's more shade now than there was then.
The trees were smaller then.
No, I don't know what happened. God knows what happened. I'm sure LBJ, when he was going after Josephina, was tearing up Zilker Park.
Chad, have you ever seen Beach Boys live?
Barnes. I've never seen the Beach Boys live.
Okay,
I never have. My niece is a huge fan. Her stepdad got her into the Beach Boys. I've known plenty of people that are big Beach Boy fans. I've never been the biggest Beach Boy fan on the planet, but I respect the hell out of the Beach Boys because they.
I believe that's too soft for you. It's too easy for you.
Well, just that high harmony stuff, man. That is tough. That's tough for any human to do, but for grown men to pull off that level of high harmony all the time, it's got to be so tough.
Well, it doesn't last.
Really? By the time you saw them, had it gone away a little bit?
No, by the time I saw them, they were fine. But I saw them a couple years ago, and clearly there's other stuff that's been going on.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
If we
were... Well, no. The problem is they try and hit it, and so it's
tough.
It doesn't age as well as a fine wine.
Hey, there's all kind. Everybody has that song or band where the high notes just can't be hit anymore. I'm sure the Beach Boy fans, Boston fans. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan of a lot of metal, hair metal stuff. There's plenty of high notes I could tell you about where I go see him later and I go, oh yeah, he can't hit that note anymore, can he?
Adele already has issues with that.
Poor bastard. Now, and Adele had her deals, but she had like a surgery.
Yeah,
she
had a different...
She had a throat deal.
She had a throat surgery. Yeah. And it does not allow her to hit those high notes at live performances anymore.
Oh, man.
It's different. It's sad. She still got an incredible voice. Like, she has a voice people would dream of, but even for her, she used to have a little more power. Happy birthday to Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. Also, Lionel Richie with a birthday today. Lionel is 68. For you Van Halen fans, Michael Anthony is 63. I know he's not in the band anymore, but I thought he was an important part of the band, so I thought I'd mention it. And Duran Duran birthday, John Taylor. I mentioned him the other day. Our friend Cherry is in love with John Taylor. John Taylor is 57 today.
This is a great day, especially Lionel Richie.
Right, it's 80s. It's a lot of good 80s stuff.
Never heard our bit like a year ago. Because Ketch has the same thought we do about hello.
Easy on we.
Okay, that I did a year ago.
You think it's...
Trey turned into a promo and made it creepy.
You, Jeff Ketchum apparently, and I'm trying to remember if Ketch talked about
not
that.
Not the only ones.
I think
there's a lot of people that can see that and compare it now and you know, I'm surprised you don't.
I just didn't see it that way. Now, I think the reason is... I do things and say things in my everyday life
that are creepy.
You and everybody thinks are creepy and I don't.
I got you.
I think that's where the hello video falls into that category.
Look how big Brian Howard is because Luke and Baker's 6'4", 265.
I was going to ask you, how big is this pitcher for TCU?
They're saying 6'9". I always thought he was like more 6'7", 6'8", but...
Aren't there rules about
yeah,
these
I mean,
things?
He looks 6'9". Rules, no.
Aren't there rules? You shouldn't be able to be that tall.
That's a great thing about
in
baseball.
Omaha, right?
No, that's a great thing about... I mean... Jose Altuve's got a real small strike zone.
Yeah.
So he zeroes in and launches.
That's an intimidating presence up there, man. He is long and lean, and he can chunk. It's 4-1 TCU, top of the eighth.
Boy, TCU's always going to look back at this and say, what if we had Baker for this? Because he's out and injured, and he's, I told you, last year he reminded me of Kieschnick there. I mean, this guy, he wasn't pitching this year, but... And not hitting as much, but this guy is a big-time threat. You put him there with Skaug and some of the other veterans they have in their lineup, and maybe that game against Florida is different, or maybe they just got a feel for a better shot that, hey, once we beat A&M, we can actually go beat someone a couple times.
How long has he been out?
I think a couple weeks.
Okay, so he went out in like the regional round?
No. It was before the Big 12 tournament, maybe around there.
Gotcha. TCU up 4-1, top of the eighth on A&M. We will start right there in the Big 3. Here we go. Maybe. All right. There we go. There it is.
Oh, he's been playing this game now, too.
Silence on Big 3?
No, I'm kidding.
No?
Big 3.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
All right, explain to everybody why you screamed out Billy Bates play.
Oh, there was a fly ball in foul territory, and Bates dropped one when Texas was playing Miami in 1985. Texas had, they were in the driver's seat, the catbird seat. They just had to beat Miami. Miami had to beat them twice for the national championship. Texas just had to beat them once. And there was a 2-1 game, also a 10-6 game. But in the 2-1 game in the eighth inning, Bates dropped a fly ball. It's a tough play for a second baseman. And I believe that's Cam Warner, the Australian kid for TCU. That it really is tough. It's one of the toughest plays. And you asked a good question. Is that an error? College baseball, I don't know. Pro baseball, you get one for that. But college baseball, depending on how far you had to go and the angle and how quick it was to your glove, if you really had time to set up, that's kind of up to the scorer.
Yeah, that's a really, really close play. By the way, somebody texted us.
Didn't hurt him, though.
They did get out of the inning. It is 4-1 going to the bottom of the eighth. TCU is ahead. Somebody texted in, hurry up, Kevin. Make a bet that if A&M goes 2 and Q, Chad has to grow a rat tail. No, it's too late for that. Too late for that.
I tell you what. No, here's the bet.
The bet was.
Here's the bet.
What's the bet?
If Texas A&M comes back and at least makes this 4-3 with a runner on second base or better, with an opportunity to tie it, an opportunity to give y'all the third win ever in Omaha. I mean, at that point, you're going to be 82 away from Texas. You could do that in our lifetime, Chad.
How dare you?
I'll be worried about it at that point. I'm already worried about 6-35. That's just...
How dare you?
How about that bet? Take it.
What's the bet? If that
You've
happens,
got to
what?
Grow the rat tail if they get... At least if it's 4-3 TCU and A&M can get a runner in scoring position. At that point, you're not being a good 10th man. You're not being an Aggie.
It's just
you're
a rat believing. Tail. It's just a it's, rat tail.
Come on. Go to Rainy Street. They're all over. That's still a long way away. TCU's been dynamite on the mound. I mean, that's still two runs, and you got to get someone in scoring position.
All right, I'm in.
All right.
I'm in.
We got it.
I'm in.
We got a bet.
I'm in. We got a bet. We got a bet. And the bet still exists. If A&M wins the national championship, I have to grow out the mullet. Full mullet.
Yes.
Yeah. That doesn't seem...
You're feeling comfortable about that right
one.
Now.
Yeah.
But like I said, you guys did not... You guys ran into some teams that are tough. And Texas did that back in the day. The key is just getting enough trips there. And once you start stacking those up, then you're going to start getting some wins, and you get in that spot to win it all. Takes a lot of things to go your way. You got to be great. You've got to get some luck. It's baseball. So, like I told you with Oregon State, I feel like with the way they play, they build cred with the baseball gods. And you know those teams that build cred, and then all of a sudden last night, well, ball back up the middle, hits off the Oregon State pitcher right to the shortstop, boom to first. Come on, you kidding me?
Yeah.
Same thing happened to LSU, but it bounced the other way.
Uh-huh.
And guys are just running around the bases.
Things just kind of go your way. Oregon State blasts LSU 13-1 last night. So we're watching the second elimination game here. Aggies need to figure something out. TCU is three outs away from advancing. TCU would then take on the loser of tonight's game, Louisville and Florida at 6 o'clock, the next winner's game. Here's Oregon State's biggest advantage. They get the most time off no matter what happens tonight. They get three full days. They get today, tomorrow, and Thursday. They don't play till Friday. Louisville, Florida, that winner will play Friday as well.
Is that maybe a good thing? Cool them off?
Right, exactly.
But wait a minute. They've been hot for...
Rust, right?
They've been hot for 4 months, so I don't think this pit is dying anytime soon.
They seem like they're in such a good place. Coach Casey was asked...
Got some grilling references now.
That's good. It's good. Coach Casey was asked about them, and he said, you know what they want to do? He goes, they're going to have days off, tomorrow off. He said, they want to go to the zoo. So we're going to go to the zoo.
Good.
You know, that's what they're doing. They're cool and collected and ready to roll.
Good zoo there.
Yes, that's what they always talk about in Omaha.
Still wish there was a park right in front of it, but...
Yeah, that would have been a good idea. Have you been to that zoo?
Yes, I have.
Decent zoo?
Like the zoo.
Good zoo.
Yeah, no, I was stuck there for a little while, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go check out... this is before they tore Rosenblatt down. Go see that, and then I'm going to go to... just to see it before it gets torn down, and then also go to the zoo, which was in Wright Field. Yeah. You know me with a zoo.
Oh, right. At some point, I went through my pictures last night, not only of Hawaii, but when we went to the zoo in San Antonio, I'd never put them in the computer. Dude, I got this picture of the Jaguar. Oh, so good.
I love a Jaguar.
So good. I got to show you this picture. Major League Baseball, the Astros gained another game on the Rangers last night. Toronto beat the Rangers. Matt Busch blew a save. That's his third blown save of the year. It was 6-5 going to the ninth. They lose at 7-6. On the other side, Houston beats Oakland out west. George Springer went 2-for-5 and hit his 20th home run of the year. He's third in the American League in home runs. George Springer is raking right now.
I love leadoff guys that are fast twitch.
God.
And that got pop, and he's got pop. Now, he can be hit or miss, but he's not as hit or miss as some guy. I mean, as a leadoff guy, he can still get on, but I love a guy who's got that power threat. When you turn that lineup over, if there are two guys on with as deep as their lineup is, it's almost like he can be a number three hole hitter. Old school? Springer?
Old school. Wow.
I believe he played the NCAA tournament.
Old school George Springer.
I think he was on the team with Matt Barnes and another guy.
Oak State is the only thing I can think of.
UConn.
UConn?
Mm-hmm.
Baseball?
Telling you, man.
Wow.
This thing's spreading.
All right. Thursday is the NBA draft. Couple of quick notes for you. We told you yesterday the Cavs part ways with their GM. Chauncey Billups, apparently, could be the next GM.
Okay.
Apparently, he's a Dan Gilbert guy. He and Dan Gilbert have been very close over the years.
He played there late, didn't he?
Maybe. And some
Really late?
Some think that this is Dan Gilbert's way of taking control.
Because he looked old at Colorado.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, and I loved his game. Yeah. Darren Williams looked old at Illinois. I love that old man game. But when they get old, you go, where the hell were they?
Yeah. Some think this is Dan Gilbert taking control back from LeBron. There's a weird soap opera going
on there. Did you see the LeBron tweet?
Yeah, LeBron tweeted out a positive tweet towards Griffin.
And apparently LeBron was not notified by Dan Gilbert about this, which is...
Uh-huh. This is wild, man.
And this is where I'll throw Michael. This isn't new school, old school. Now, those guys wouldn't have publicly... And I guess Michael did with Scottie Pippen, but trying to get Scottie Pippen paid because Jerry Reinsdorf and Jerry Krause were being cheap and wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Kukoc is already... It is different than Tristan Thompson. Scottie Pippen was the second best player in the league for a long time, or was at least top five,
That's
top
true.
10, and for that team did a lot of different things. I would argue 94 to 96, you could argue he was top two, top three. And yes, Sean Kemp, actually that one year, was top two. Don't look at all NBA team, because Karl Malone's going to get that, because it's like Ozzie Smith getting Barry Larkin stuff. Just some of this, gee.
I'm just glad we can get it out of your brain.
Yeah, I'm just glad I got that out.
Glad we could just, you know.
No, that wasn't coming out of my brain.
That's cathartic. That's nice. Also, discussion still going on about Jimmy Butler, Paul George, now maybe talking to the Lakers about a trade, although that looks tough. And Kristaps Porzingis is being discussed.
That.
Couple teams, the Knicks are reaching out
Wouldn't
to a few teams
see
about Porzingis.
On a team that isn't the New York Knicks?
Yeah. I absolutely had that thought today.
If he was a free agent pick and we could have taken someone for Cleveland or any other team in the playoffs to make it close, he would have been someone you go, well, hey, we got a big guy here, can actually do some things.
I have a terrifying thought for everyone like me that's a Mavs fan or anybody that's a Rockets fan. The first team I thought of was, what if that guy was in San Antonio? What would Popovich do with a 7'3" guy that can play,
mm-hmm.
that has all kinds of stuff? By the way, Pau Gasol reportedly is going to opt out. Player option. They say he still might end up in San Antonio. That's going to free up $16.2 million. For the Spurs,
okay.
He may sign for less. David Lee probably going to opt out as well.
Can I say something, though, when I think about it?
Yeah.
You know how much I love Malone. He's one of my, maybe the top power forward of all time. Not mm-hmm. fair with the Ozzie Smith comparison.
That's not fair?
Well, because you know what I think. I think Ozzie Smith was overrated. I think Malone was dynamite.
Gotcha.
Just how many good power forwards there were.
Ozzie with the glove, incredible. Ozzie with the bat, not so much.
Yes.
Right. Not as much bat.
Although Cardinal fans would tell me about all the clutch moments, and he had some.
That's true.
He had some gamer in him.
He had a couple. He did have a couple.
He was a performer.
All right, there's your big three for you. Let's see if we can squeeze in a crap bag here.
Chad's crap bag.
Crap bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
Let's get in out and get some Mo and get a couple in and one on, all right?
Bottom of the eighth. TCU's up 4-1 and trying to add to it. Two outs. We'll keep you updated there. Not a whole lot in the crap bag today, but I did want to give a couple ladies a shout-out. First off, Holly Holm. This is, of course, the woman that ended the Ronda Rousey thing, the beginning of the end of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Holly Holm had an amazing knockout over the weekend of Betch Correa, who is a Brazilian fighter that I'm not a big fan of. And Kevin, it's sad as to why I'm not a big fan of her. So here it goes.
Okay.
The weird subplot of my pretty people rule in MMA is this. If you're going to have a big-time attitude, I mean a big-time ego-filled attitude, and needs you to be pretty. She's not pretty enough to have the attitude, so...
But that's not what it's about. It's about kicking butt.
Oh, it is, but I'm saying for me...
So if you're just terrorizing people, it doesn't matter what you look like. Just for you, that's a weird thing for you. You're
part of my image...
Pretty people.
Part of the image there is the more handsome, or and that works for men or women fighters. The more attractive you are, the more I will let you have the attitude that you're a badass. She...
So you think Connor's good looking?
I don't know about Connor, but I like the attitude. The tats help him out a lot.
Do you allow? But you allow it, and you don't think he's great looking.
I allow him. Yeah, right. I allow it for him. I allow it for him. But he's also got that. Yeah, I don't know how to explain that one.
So the Irish thing. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little bit of the Irish thing helps. So Betch Kohea gets in the third round. She asks Holly Holm. She does the come on, come on. Even puts her hands down at one point. So Holly Holm put her shin right on her jaw and sent her to the floor.
Ooh.
It was impressive stuff. And then there's
and you like that.
And then there's the moment where boxing fans like you and MMA fans split because Betch goes to her knees.
I'm already split, by the way, with the shin to the chin.
Oh, that's right. You don't even like the kick to start with.
No.
Right. So then she's on the mat on her knees and she looks up at the official and we don't know if she was saying I'm okay or if she was saying I quit. But Holly didn't wait around to find out, and she hit her again, and then it was over.
All right. Yeah. Good.
So that was
only
it.
One, though.
Only one. Only one extra shot.
She's a classy gal.
She is. Love Holly Holm. So congrats to Holly. Also, congrats to Diana Taurasi, became the all-time leading scorer in the WNBA. She passed Tina Thompson, who is the assistant coach over at Texas, who was the all-time leading scorer. Tina gave her a lot of love for that. And
are they playing right now?
They are in season.
Or they obviously are, but are they getting to the playoffs?
I
or?
Don't quite know where along the season they are, but she just passed Tina Thompson on that list. Diana Taurasi, I was calling the game.
Hell of a college player.
Oh, God. I was calling the Final Four game. Texas was up, I think, 9 with 6 minutes to go.
Were they really?
And Diana Taurasi just went crazy on them. And then they go on to win it, and she holds up the jersey to show everybody the UConn. That girl has attitude for days. And in addition to, we talked about it, I think it is...
Do you allow her to have that attitude?
Yes. Yes. And the
just checking.
And the ESPN...
Because on that one, it could be close.
No. I know where you're going, but after the ESPN, the magazine body issue... It kind of swung the other way on Diana Taurasi. I think she's attractive.
All right.
And
bodies can do that to us.
Right. And then with Diana, we talked about it with Taurasi.
Was Lobo in that one?
And some of these players. I don't think so.
Okay.
With Diana and some of these players, we talk about it is a compliment to say that a woman's basketball player plays like a guy. And Diana, I think, had some of that. But hopefully now as we move along, it's also just a flat-out compliment to say somebody plays like Diana Taurasi, plays like Candace Parker, plays like Tina Thompson, plays like Lisa Leslie.
Oh, people on Friday were saying Trey throws like a girl, and we had text, and I was saying, no, I've thrown with way too many women. That's just a slap in the face for the stuff that he was throwing out there on Friday.
Yeah, so nice work from Taurasi. As much as I hated to watch it in 2003 because I wanted Texas to get to the title game and break their string, she's a huge part of that UConn history, and she's now the all-time leading scorer and is probably going to put that thing way out of reach. And classy move by Tina Thompson to be nice about it and everything.
It's been a little too quick the postseason for Brendan Shoemake, who I think right away I thought this guy was going to be really good just defensively the way he ranged. And he's got first-round pick written all over him. We'll put some weight on. Started the game off well, looking for something outside on the outer half and doubled to left center. But overall at the NCAA tournament, this happens with a lot of freshmen. So Aggies, don't be worried about his future. This will be something that will be really good for him. He'll take this, work on some stuff in summer ball, and know the next time if he does get back here, but definitely in postseason, kind of what to expect.
If he develops some with the bat, good
he's
Lord.
But he's our leading hitter. Average-wise, and he's got some pop. He's going to put some weight on. He's got first-round pick or supplemental written all over.
Yeah,
let's see where it goes. Cool thing is that the scouts get 2 more years to find out.
2 more years of number 8 at second base for A&M. He is really, really good. All right, there's some crap bag for you. At 5:35, I've got some old school for Kevin. A little college football, a little football, basketball,
beautiful.
Football. Yeah, we'll go football and basketball in the old school coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll keep you updated on this TCU A&M game. We're also mixing in some college football because you know it never dies. guys around here. 74 days until Tom Herman's Texas Longhorns take the field against Maryland. But we're only 7 days away from the Phil Steele magazine. We got Dave Campbell magazines in the room with us. It is that time of year, trying to get to football season. It's the Horn.
The Horns text line is brought to you by Specs, your tailgating headquarters with a Texas-sized selection of lower-priced everything. Cheers to savings.
I know perfectly well. Hope you're having a Beach Boy shiny kind of day on High of 97 Tuesday. It's a Beach Boy birthday. We got Brian Wilson with a birthday today, 75 years old. Hope he's doing well, because that man's had a tough, tough life in many ways. Chad and Kevin with you. This text came in earlier, and we kind of apologize for this, but I love the way this listener dealt with it. This says, my 11-year-old just Googled Fleshlight. Thanks, guys.
Hey, that's not on us.
Fun conversation being had, and that is ultimately on Trey because he brought it up. But I texted back. I said, oh, damn it. Sorry about that. But the response came back, all good. Love awkward conversation. So remember, if you had to have that awkward conversation and you're good with it, go right ahead. If not, we were saying flashlight. They misunderstood. And that's all you have to say. Chad and Kevin with you on this Tuesday. And it is over in Omaha. I do not have to grow a rat tail or a mullet. And the Aggies are 2-barbecue. 4-1 TCU. TCU's waiting for the loser of Louisville and Florida. And once again, Kevin, the Aggies are heading home from Omaha.
At least you danced.
They got there.
I mean, no, which at the end of the day is the biggest thing.
Are you literally telling me that the Aggies have 2 wins in Omaha ever?
I believe they're 2-12 now.
Single game wins, that's it?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That is the one great thing if you're a Texas baseball fan. A lot of things have changed, and a lot of the sports, you could get runs or stuff could get done over 20 or 30 years. It's going to be tough. Texas has won 85 times in Omaha.
Yeah, I could tell you knew the numbers.
Yeah. I got the numbers if you want them.
Yeah, if this shocks anyone today, Kevin walked in here with those numbers in his head, and I didn't. I had no idea. No clue.
But look at what TCU's done. And I think that's what Rob wants to do there. I mean, you know, and the other thing about A&M's been better than TCU as a program, baseball program, for 80 to 85 of the 100 years.
Right.
But from 2010 on, you can go on a run like this if you get the right guy. The good thing is you guys have the resources. I think you guys have the best park in all of college baseball. I really believe that.
And you always say you like the Aggies coach, too.
I love Rob. I think Rob's a real deal.
He's been there a long time now.
Yeah, he's been there a long time. And maybe you talk to him about making some changes. But I don't know. I mean, you got to make sure if you're going to go out and go get someone, and Texas found this out. So if Texas can find it out, A&M certainly can in baseball. You've got to make sure that there's someone out there that you really can go get and want to go get.
A&M done.
I can see y'all being frustrated.
Again.
I get it. But some of the frustration you're talking about goes back to Mark Johnson and Jim Lawler, and even before that, where, I mean, there were really good teams, but you guys, you know, seemingly every year finished second, which isn't bad. It was better than TCU did in the Southwest Conference. But the thing with that was I always, even like Texas finished second in 1989, but they played for the national championship. There should have been 2 teams in the Southwest Conference consistently going to Omaha, and there was really only one.
So TCU moves on, A&M goes home, and Louisville and Florida will play tonight at 6 o'clock, and everybody seems to be chasing Oregon State, who
tell
won 13-1 last night. What are you going to tell me? What do you need to tell me?
So Earl, do you see Earl?
I do not.
He came into the other studio and was looking at me and was like, what's going on here? Because I'm playing with this thing, this flashlight.
Yeah, playing with a flashlight studio.
It's more of like a fun toy that someone would get in like silly putty or something like that.
I don't get the other thing. Did you tweet that picture out, Trey, by the way? Is that what the point of that was earlier?
Video. I will be
Video.
I will be tweeting it out.
Okay. Trey is at Courtesy Wave if you want to see the flashlight conversation so we don't get any more awkward conversations started.
Hey, here's another thing though. Give you guys some credit for this was not a team that was expected to get there. And so I've talked about like the 89 team that kills me they didn't get there. I think 2010 when they played TCU, I think that Texas team could have won it all. And I, you know, that's a team that I'm like, how did you not get there? This is a team not expected to get there. Now, can you turn that into the next Aggie team that wins 50 games and is hosting regionals and supers and isn't in the top eight? All right, let's get back there for number seven and let's do some damage this time.
Yeah, and because obviously, realistically, you got to talk about a team that ended up hosting a super regional because a national seed got beat out of nowhere by Davidson, a team with three scholarships.
Yeah.
That's part of the reality of it.
Well, and you saw it with your eyes. You said, they look different than the other teams. And I go, man, this is a good Omaha. Sometimes there's Omaha where two or three stand out, and everyone else, you go, okay, I mean, they're gritty, they're scrappy.
There's like five of the eight are standing out.
Right. But you always hear it's like, they're really gritty, they're scrappy, they throw a lot of strikes. Boy, they throw a lot of breaking balls. Okay, so they don't have good stuff, and they don't have any speed or power is what you're telling me. There's like five or six out here that got a lot of that.
Yeah, they can play. And two of the winners are coming up later with Louisville and Florida. We'll let you know about that one in the 6 o'clock hour. 4 o'clock hour coming right up, 74 days away from college football. We'll jump back into that discussion right here on The Horn.